Welcome to the Crosspoint Podcast, a listener support ministry of Crosspoint Alliance Church. I'm Pastor C, and it is a joy that you are joining us. Today, we will continue our series in the book of Acts as we discover how the Holy Spirit can move and work in people, through people, and in spite of people. Now, take some notes, and most of all, open your heart. God wants to speak to you.
We are going through the book of Acts, right? And it seems like yesterday that we started on Acts chapter 1. And guess what? We are at the end of Acts chapter 21 today. I mean, time just flies. And I didn't know that when I was younger. I'm sure, I don't want to offend anybody who's older. But as I get older, like, yesterday seems like 2014... When 2015 happened, I feel like I just woke up from New Year's Eve. You know what I mean? I'm sure you can all relate to that. And a few months ago, we took on this motto. Do you guys remember this motto? Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Right? Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. And Acts 1-8 is what? What does it say? Let's all read that together. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of this earth. And what we are learning so far here today at Crosspoint is that Acts 1-8 really isn't about us. It's really about the Holy Spirit, right? What He can do in people, through people, and in spite of people. And I can tell you that this journey through Acts has been the most humbling experience ever that I've experienced in my life. That God, in spite of who I am or what I have done, He still chooses to use me. That He still chooses to use you. And I think that's the beauty of our God. Amen? And I think that's the glorious aspect of our God. That God can choose anything in this world because He created everything that's in it. God used, you know, if you look in the Old Testament, God used the donkey to speak to Balaam so that he could get the glory, right? And Jesus said that, what? If we stay quiet, then who will cry out? The rocks will cry out, right? God is able to use anything in this earth. Like this past weekend, last weekend, I guess, Rachel and I got to go to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Did I say that right? Gatlinburg, Tennessee, right? And, I mean, her and I kind of stuck out like a sore thumb in that area. But we got to go there for our first year anniversary. And it was a glorious time. And God is such a creative God. Can I just say that? Right? God is a creative God. God is a God who cannot be contained within our own understanding. And if we try to do that, we kind of mess things up. And I think that's why faith exists, right? So that, you know, faith exists because when understanding fails, faith comes into play. And we can, you know, grow in that faith. Every morning while I was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, I sat out on the balcony, and the view was this, just, if you want to close your eyes and imagine this view as me, it's just like mountains just rising up from the ground, and there's sunrise coming up from behind the mountains, and the birds are chirping, and everything is flying around, and you have just this quiet place to be. For 4 days, that was my view. And the only words at the end of those 4 days I could really say with my mouth and with my heart was, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty." Because that view, oh man, God created it. God spoke, "Hey, let there be mountains." And guess what? It just, poof, it just grew. God, you know, I even saw bears there, like wild bears, and I was scared. Okay, I'm not going to lie. Because it was a mother bear and two cubs. And I'm going, not going to mess with that. And God said, "Let there be bears." And guess what? they just poof, you know? I mean, it's just, it's one of those things. And, you know, we lifted a hot tub, and we were trying to enjoy the hot tub, but there was a wasp's nest in there. And, you know, wasps, even the manliest man, the machoest macho man, will run away from it, right? Even God said, you know, God created those things. Even the littlest details that you see flying around, God created it. And I don't know if that is like hitting you as hard as it's hitting me, but God is a creative God. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and look at them intently. Don't be self-conscious, all right? Just turn to your neighbor, whoever's there, right? Look at them. Look at every wrinkle. Look at every hair that's coming out of their face, right? If you don't have something to look at here, look at me, all right? Every little like scars and every little thing, that is created by God's design. Every beautiful face that we've seen here, it is all through God's design. God is the original artist. He is the original scientist. He is the original creator. He's the perfecter. God is the author of you and I. Amen? Yet God, in the midst of all the creation that he created, I mean, he could have chosen the rocks, he could have chosen the donkey, he could have chosen the bears, he could have chosen the mountains to speak to people, he still chooses to use us. Why? Because it's not all about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. The sooner we realize that everything that is created, the sooner we realize that everything that is happening around this earth is for his glory, that we will have a better understanding of the purpose while we're here on this earth. So let's try, you know, let's stop trying to examine God like a science experiment. Let's stop that, because honestly, we're going to fail, right? There's no, it just doesn't work. But let's start having God examine us to the very core of our hearts. So what better way is it to have somebody who is in total control to the people who are so messy, who is totally out of control? So I pray that, you know, as all of us are being humbled through the book of Acts and each moment of our lives, that we would be able to see the glory of God and everything is for his kingdom. And before we go any further, you know, and if you don't get anything out of today's message or whatnot, and if you have to leave, you know, in the middle of service, remember this. As Christ followers, we are called to pursue growth in our faith. As Christ followers, we are called to pursue growth in our faith. Last week, you know, we saw that Paul was going from Ephesus to Cos to Rhodes to Patara, to Phoenicia, and he passed Cyprus. He went to Syria, Tyre, and Ptolemais, and he went to Caesarea. And we today finally end up here in Jerusalem. He went through all that trouble to get to Jerusalem. Even last week when we saw that, people were like, hey, guess what? We don't want you to go to Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit is telling you, you know, I have to go. But Paul's like, no, I got to go, right? He's like, I got to go because it's the will of God. And despite the opposition that Paul is going to face in Jerusalem, he understood a purpose, that God's purpose, just as Aaron spoke last week, that even if that, you know, God, even if that it's not convenient, but in God's eyes, it's always right, right? That it's not always convenient. I mean, that's not convenient. Look, I wouldn't want, I'm a traveler and I like to travel, but no thanks, especially without a car back in the day, right? And no planes. And he had to walk and was probably on a camel or a horse. I'm guessing a camel because they were, you know, in that area, right? But that's not convenient. No thanks for me. If somebody told me, you know, hey, you shouldn't go because I'm thinking and going, okay, so I have to go through here. Yeah, I shouldn't go. The Holy Spirit's telling me not to go. That would have been me. But Paul, no. Even if it was inconvenient, he still went because it was right. And it was God's will for Paul to go to Jerusalem. So we end up here in verse 17. And we're going to go through all the way to verse 40. Hopefully through verse 40. We have a lot to cover today. But let's see what happens in Jerusalem. Because things get really interesting. I can see why the Holy Spirit told Paul, don't go. But Paul says, no, this is the will of God. This is what God wants me to do. So let's read it together. I'll read it and you can follow along. When we arrived, the brothers and sisters in Jerusalem welcomed us warmly. Now, I just want to stop here real quick. I hope that this is a case for everybody who comes through these doors, that we are able to welcome everyone with welcome hearts and warm welcome. Amen? The next day, Paul went with us to meet with James and all the elders of Jerusalem. Church were present. After greeting them, Paul gave a detailed account of the things God had accomplished among the Gentiles through his ministry. After hearing this, they praised God. If Paul were alive today, I think he would fit perfectly here in Crosspoint today. I would think so. How do I know that? Because look at what verse 19 through 28 says. It says, after greeting them, so Paul, after saying, hey, how's it going? He gives a detailed account of his ministry, of all his missionary journey. And what is one of our things that means to be a disciple? Sharing our grace stories, right? And when we share our grace stories, we grow a little closer in faith. So let me ask you, bum, 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 have you shared your grace story lately? Have you shared your grace stories lately? Not here, not in here, because we can do that here. But outside of church, have you shared your grace stories lately? If you haven't yet, well, let me give you a rundown of what sharing a grace story does, right? Sharing a grace story is like eating a fat, juicy steak. Okay? It's eating a fat, juicy steak. If you're not hungry yet, something's wrong with you because I'm really hungry just by saying that. I can imagine just sizzling in my mind. Anyways, you run your fork and knife through that and it's just butter. It just cuts like butter, right? And you put it in your mouth and it just melts in your mouth and you're just like, this is a good steak, right? And after you're done eating it, what do? You go to somebody who's close to you and say what? That was a great steak. It was so good. You should go and try it. Right? That's what you do. You share about that steak. And then a person who just heard from it, guess what they're going to do? They're going to go and try that steak. Right? Well, who gets all the glory here? Who gets all the glory? Is it the one who's eating the steak? Is it the cow? Is it the cow that turned into the steak? No, I don't think it's the cow or the cow that turned into the steak. The steak didn't cook itself. Guess who cooked it? The chef, right? The chef prepared the steak. The chef gets all the glory. And let me clarify something. Your grace story doesn't have to be something big or extravagant. Your grace story can be something as little as, I get to breathe today, right? That's a grace story. By sharing your grace story, you just encourage the person, right, to share their grace story to another person, which means that both of you are now growing in faith. Remember the bottom line? As Christ followers, we're called to pursue growth in our faith. You see, your grace story, it's all about the chef. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the chef. It's not the events that you went through. It's not how many hoops that you had to go through. But it's all about the chef. All about Jesus. So I want to try something with you all here today. And I hope that it works. Because some of you are falling asleep. And I hope that it works. I'll start off with the grace story that I'm currently experiencing. Right? And I'm going to open the floor up for somebody else to share their grace story. And I want you to start off the sentence with this. I give glory to Jesus because blank. For me, I give glory to Jesus because God paved the way for me to go to school this year. Not only that, God paved the way for me to enjoy my first year anniversary and to get through that first year of marriage. So I give glory to God. And it's the open floor. I'm gonna stand, right over here. And yes, Raquel.
I give glory to God because 2 weeks ago I put a book in my bag, and
He healed me. Amen. Yes.
I'm Natalie.
Hi, Natalie.
I give glory to God because beginning of August, I left everything back in Connecticut. I relocated to Charlotte, North Carolina with my kids.
Wow.
And I left my husband and my sisters, my mom, my friends, everything in Connecticut because I'm believing God for something here in North Carolina. And so I just give glory to God because I see Him working. Mm.
Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's an open floor. Yes.
I want to give praise to God for allowing me to be off. I just started a new job 2 weeks ago.
Praise God.
Prior to that, I was working every Sunday, and I just couldn't deal with it because I wasn't able to come to church. And so He made it possible for me in this new job that I'm off on Sunday.
Woo! Praise God. Anybody else would like to share? Couple more, because I love these stories, because everything is about the chef, right?
Yeah.
It's about Jesus. Couple more, let's just...
Okay.
Amen. Praise God. One more. One brave soul. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Let's pray together, right? Let's pray together. God, we give you all the glory. Jesus, you are good because you are the enabler. You make everything possible when everything seems impossible. And God, we give glory to you. We're amazed by you. We're in awe of you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. And then they said, you know, dear brother, and these are the elders of the church speaking, how many thousands of Jews have also believed? And they all follow the laws of Moses very seriously. But the Jewish believers here in Jerusalem have been told that you're teaching all the Jews who live among the Gentiles to turn their backs on the laws of Moses. They've heard that you teach them not to circumcise their children or follow other Jewish customs. What should we do? They will certainly hear that you have come. Here's what we want you to do. We have four men who are here who have completed their vow. That's the Nazarite vow. Go with them to the temple and join them in the purification ceremony, paying for them to have their head ritually shaved. Then everyone will know that the rumors are false and that you yourself observed the Jewish laws. As for the Gentile believers, they should do what we already told them in our letter. They should abstain from eating food offered to idols, from consuming blood or the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. We see the elders of the church raising a concern for to Paul that there was a rumor going around that Paul is not following all these Jewish customs, right? Do you know how rumors start? Do you know how rumors start? Right here. They've heard. That's how rumors start, doesn't it? Oh, isn't it always how rumors start? You hear something, you're like, And you go talk to somebody and go, did you hear how this and this person? And that person goes, hey, did you hear about this and this person? And then at the end of the line, it's like the telephone game. When you start with rabbit, you end up with dog, right? And it's just like, what happened? Because they heard that Paul was telling everyone, you know, to forsake the laws of Moses. And, you know, we see circumcision being singled out because that was, you know, considered the badge of God's covenant with the Jews, right? But see, when we look at other letters of Paul, because we kind of have to go out of Acts to see that Paul wasn't actually against the laws of Moses. He wasn't against the customs of the Jews. He wasn't. Let's look in Galatians 6:15. He says, it doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. Paul here is saying, circumcision doesn't make any Jewish customs. It's no difference regarding one's status before God. Whether, you know, we do church this way or that way, that doesn't matter in front of God. Whether we start church this time or that time, or how many inches or centimeters between each chairs, or what songs we should sing, what style of worship we should do, or how many people in the church, or how many ethnicities we need to have in the church, all those things do not matter in front of God. And I think it's time for us to realize that even the littlest details that go wrong, those don't matter in front of God, because everything at the end is all for His glory. You see, while the Jews were preaching about the things that they should do, right, and the things that they shouldn't do, Paul was doing something totally different. He flipped it upside down and he said, I preach Christ. Paul preached Christ. You know, I thought we were the only society that struggled with this. Things what to do and what not to do, and you know what church should be and what church should not be. But I think this same struggle that Paul was having with the Jews back in the day, I think it's the same struggle that we still struggle today. Don't you think so? That there isn't enough Christ preaching in our churches today. There isn't enough preaching of who Jesus was and what His ministry was, and when we are to follow Him as Jesus' disciples, that we ought to live like Him, right? And loving everyone and forgiving everyone. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that everything is acceptable, right? Paul, in the last part, he says, what counts is whether we have been transformed or not. See, when we are a new creation in Christ, it's no longer I who sit on the throne of my heart. It's Jesus who sits on the throne of our hearts. That's what a new creation is. That's what a transformation is. I am currently reading a book called How to Think Theologically by Howard Stone and James Duke. And this book starts off by saying this. To be Christian at all is to be a theologian. They are no exceptions. There are no exceptions. To be a Christian at all is to be theologian. There are no exceptions. See, to be a theologian, most people are like, oh my goodness, you have to have a master's, you have to have your PhDs, you have to have your doctorates, you have to have the A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all the way through Z, and double Z, and triple Z, and whatever comes in front, right, to be a theologian. But I think this shatters everything, right? He says, if you're a Christian, raise your hand if you're a Christian. You are a theologian. If you're a Christian, you are a theologian. Because Christian theology, at its root, ready, is a matter of faith-seeking understanding. It's not all the books and the research papers you have to do, but it's all about seeking God. It's all about seeking your faith. Faith needs a constant growth. Now, in the first chapter, it gives two types of theology. I don't want to bore you. I'm going to try to get through this, you know, as fast as possible. It gives two types of theology. First is embedded theology. Embedded. And second is called deliberative theology. To simply put, without, you know, giving you the lecture of master's courses, embedded theology is what you grow up with. Right, what the church has told you, you know, hey, this is what faith is, and this is what your faith ought to be, this is how you should do, and this is what you should not do. That's embedded theology, something that you grew up with. Deliberative theology is something that you question the embedded theology. Does that make sense? Is anybody confused yet? No, everyone's good. All right. So it's, and deliberative theology, and I quote, this says, understanding of faith that emerges from a process of carefully reflecting upon embedded theological convictions. What deliberative theology does, it questions why we believe in the things that we believe in. Now, I'm not here to, you know, like, scare you that, you know, what we believe in is... No, I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is this bottom line is so important. If we keep being fed by the pastors, and if we keep being, you know, not pursuing our own faith in God, there's something wrong. See, faith can only grow by nursing it. Faith can only grow by seeking and searching. See, comfortable faith is a dead faith. Comfortable faith, a couch faith, is a dead faith. If you're just coming to Sunday services and saying, you know, that's enough Christian talk over the week, I'll be all right, right? Then something's wrong. If you're only, you know, drinking milk during the week and not eating steak, actually chewing food and really just gnawing on the Word of God during the week, then there's something wrong. See, a mature Christian is able to ask questions and eager to find faith-based answers. A mature Christian is able to ask questions and is eager to find faith-based answers. Just because I said, for example, God is love, but God is also a fair judge. All of you guys say, amen, and write that down, right? But a mature Christian, you know what they do? They go home. They look at the scriptures on what scriptures that say God is love. And they chew on that, and they really get to know who God is and that God is love. But not only that, they also look at the other scriptures that say God is a fair judge as well. And they chew on that, and they really gnaw on the Bible and say, okay, if God is love and God is a fair judge, then who is God? I mean, those are two completely contradicting, yet such similar things. That's what pursuing growth in our faith is. That's why this call in our lives is so important. Pursuing growth starts as a personal faith. Pursuing growth as personal seeking into a community building. Because if we're not first seeking God in our own personal lives and relationships, then how can we grow a church together? It's impossible. As Christ followers, we are called to pursue growth in our faith. It is our calling to every single one of us here today. It's not whether you like it. If you call yourself a Christian, it's not a choice. It's not a choice. It's a must. It is a calling that God has given us. When I think of calling, God has called you in the places that where you are at. Okay? Don't get me wrong. God's called you to be God's called you in the place where you are at. You don't need to, you know, start looking and saying, where's God calling me to go? You know? It's not that. God, if you're here in Charlotte at the current moment, that's where God's called you. If you're at the current job that you don't like, well, guess what? God's called you to that place too. If you're in a marriage that is, you know, starting to just kind of, you know, see its fallings or whatnot, well, guess what? God's called you to stay because that's what marriage is. You see, this call we cannot take lightly. This call of God that God has given us, it's not a light call. It's a duty as a Christian. It's a duty as disciples of Jesus. So Paul went to the temple the next day with the other men. They had already started the purification ritual. So he publicly announced the date when their vows would end and sacrifices would be offered for each of them. The 7 days were almost ended when some Jews from the province of Asia saw Paul in the temple and roused mob against him. They grabbed him, yelling, "Men of Israel, help us! This is a man who preaches against our people everywhere and tells everybody to disobey the Jewish laws. He speaks against the temple, even defiles this holy place by bringing in Gentiles. For earlier that day, they had seen him in the city with Trophimus, a Gentile from Ephesus, and they assumed Paul had taken him into the temple. The whole city was rocked by these accusations, and a great riot followed. Paul was grabbed and dragged out of the temple, and immediately the gates were closed behind him. As they were trying to kill him, word reached the commander of the Roman regiment that all Jerusalem was in an uproar. He immediately called out his soldiers and officers and ran down among the crowd. When the mob saw the commander and the troops coming, they stopped beating Paul. Then the commander arrested him and ordered him bound with two chains. He asked the crowd who he was and what he had done. Some shouted one thing, some another. Since he couldn't find out what the truth in all the uproar and confusion, he ordered that Paul be taken to the fortress. As Paul reached the stairs, the mob grew so violent, the soldiers had to lift him their shoulders to protect him. And the crowd followed behind him shouting, "Kill him, kill him." After the elders raised that concern about the rumor that Jews were speaking of, Paul does, you know, what any wise person would do. He keeps the peace by saying, you know what, okay, let me disperse the rumor and let me go and keep the peace among the people and let me go and purify myself. Paul listens to the advice of the church elders, you know, in verses 28 through 25 and purifies himself and goes into the temple. Then we see Jews causing a riot, right, against Paul, only based on assumptions, right? They assumed that Paul had taken the Gentiles into the temple, when we all know that's false, that Paul did not. Again, why is this bottom line so important? As Christ followers, we're called to pursue growth in our faith because the world will try to wrong Christ followers every chance they get. Because the world will assume our beliefs. You know, sadly, many people see us as a total extreme Christians, right? Westboro Baptist Church. You know, like, people see us that because the media tells them to. And not only that, sometimes, you know what, let's be honest. We do it too. Let's be honest here. The world will tell us that our faith is wrong and that we're stupid for believing in something that we can't see. Who's gotten that accusation before? I know I have. Why do you believe something you can't see? Well, that's why it's called faith. I don't know. You know, it's the world will try to kill our faith by debating and twisting our arms, saying you are wrong, and try to, you know, beat us like as they beat Paul. But we all know that as Christ has already won the victory for us, amen, that the things of this earth are temporary and nothing compares to the glory of Jesus that we'll meet one day. John 16:33. I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Ready? This is a promise that Jesus gives. I love this verse because it kind of keeps me in check whenever I'm like, why is this happening to me? Well, here it is. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, many temptations and many persecutions, but take heart because I have overcome the world. That's why the growth in our faith is so crucial. While we're on this earth, we're in need to hold on to the total truth, who is Jesus. So let's not give room for assumptions. Let's live by connecting lives to Christ. Another point in one of our disciples. I'm hitting all of them today, right? Connecting lives and really sharing our lives to Christ. See, that's the core of our Christianity, that if we sit here and do nothing in this inside this church building, then we're not really connecting lives, are we? We're not really living that discipleship lifestyle. How can we show Christ if we just kind of huddle all together by ourselves and say, God is good, isn't it? Right? No, we can't do that. We've got to show who Christ is. Can I say something that might be a little offensive to some of you here? I like being offensive because it kind of challenges us, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Right? Did you know that church can actually be a roadblock to some of you? church can be a roadblock for some of you in your growth and your faith. Let me elaborate before you make any conclusions and say, kill him! No, I'm just kidding, no. Some of you who are sitting here are called to reach the people outside of these four walls. Some of you are called to reach the people inside of these four walls. But there's something that is common for all of us is this. We are called to be the witnesses in the places that where we are, right? Where we want to go, where we don't want to go, and where God is calling us to go, right? That is a universal thing that, you know, as Christians, we live by, right? I say that the church building can be, you know, church can be a roadblock to some of you because you are not stepping out in your faith and doing the call that God has called you to do. I know there's some of you in here had that urge to go out and to share that faith with the people around you at your work, with your families especially. And if you're not doing it, then do it. I cannot elaborate and expand on the word just do it, you know. Nike got it right. But, you know, just do it. You know, there's, what is stopping you? Maybe the church is. I don't know. Because the building that we're sitting here today, all of us, can become a false safety. It becomes a false safety that we are good by just sitting here and listening to the Word of God and worshiping and raising our hands. That's great, but that can be a false safety for some of you. See, that idea I mentioned earlier, that coming to church is enough. Well, guess what? It's not enough. It's not enough. There is so much more to our Christian faith than just sitting here on our seats. I'm not saying that sitting in it is wrong. You know, I'm saying what we do outside of church matters. I can tell you right now that without hesitation, the cafe that I work at the current moment has been a blessing, has been the most phenomenal platform that I can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the people around me. Without hesitation, I think I've shared the gospel at my work because my boss allows me to. He goes to Ridge Church down by Matthews. So, whew, good, right? So he allows me to do it, okay? So I can tell you right now, numerous times I was able to share the gospel with somebody who's never heard the word of Jesus or the word salvation. And I got to plant a seed in them, even if it's a five-minute talk. Because why? God's called me, yes, to preach, great, to teach, great. But God's also called me to go to the places that people don't want to go. Go to the places that where he's calling me to go. And if you are afraid of people judging you, well, don't be afraid. Because when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, again, it's not about you. It's not you speaking. It's not you. But it is the Holy Spirit speaking through you and changing people's lives. It's not we're not changing people's lives. We are just a instrument, just a tool to be used by God. It's never about you. Even in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve, well, we look at the story and go, oh, Adam and Eve, that's great. What'd you do sinning, man? Like, you know? Well, guess what? It was never about Adam and Eve. It was never about them. It was all about His glory and praise. This bottom line, as Christ followers, we're called to pursue growth in our faith. We're called to pursue growth in our faith. Let's pursue it. This faith that we have, what we have grown up with, it's not enough. It's not enough. We need to be in the Word 24/7, even in our sleep. We need to dream about it. I know I may be very traditional in saying it, you know. I don't care, because this is where everything happens. It is on our knees where everything happens. It is reading the Word where everything happens. If this doesn't happen, then nothing matters. If being on your knees is not happening, then nothing matters. So if you're not on your knees, and if you're not reading your word, and you come to any of the pastors to say, why is this happening in my life? Well, guess what we're going to tell you. Are you on your knees? And are you reading your word? Because that's where your growth happens. Because that's when you're really, truly filled with the Holy Spirit so that He can use you in the way that God wants to use you. So before we close, I want to challenge you to live out this calling. This calling, a pursuit of growth in our faith. And you might ask how. Well, I'm going to hit another one of our discipleship. How about starting with the intimacy with God? How about starting with that, right? Or even living a stewardship lifestyle. How about starting with that, right? Giving your time, giving your tithes, giving your offering. How about spiritual giftedness? How about starting with that? Using your gifts for the work of God's kingdom. How about sharing your grace stories? Let's start with that. Because by sharing your grace stories, again, you're glorifying the chef. How about connecting lives? Connecting others to Christ. Let's start with that. Let's stop asking how we can do this. Just do it. You know, just do it. Intimacy with God, grace stories, spiritual giftedness, connecting lives, stewardship lifestyle. Those all, wherever you start, guess what? You're going to start growing in your faith. Look at this wall now. Ready? I told you I'm going to hit everything today. It's time to grow and what? Make a difference. Stop making excuses and do it. Oh, too much work to do at work. It's work. Duh, you're going to have work. You know? I don't know. I have family that I got to take care of. I have, you know, schoolwork that I need to do. I don't have time to, you know, share my grace stories. I don't have time to grow and make a difference. These are all excuses. Blah, blah, blah. That's what we hear when you come and tell us it's excuses. Just kidding. No, that's not what we hear. All right? Imagine if Jesus made an excuse at the Garden of Gethsemane before He said, it's not my will, but it is your will. We would not be sitting here today. Oh, man. Remember, yes, Jesus was 100% God, but He was also very well human. He had our struggles. He had work. He was a carpenter. He had brothers and sisters that He hung out with. He had work, right? Imagine if He made excuses and said, you know what? I don't need to go on the cross. I don't need to do that. I don't have time for that. Well, I guess I am grateful that Jesus didn't make up any excuses. Aren't you grateful? Yeah. Right? I am grateful that Jesus lived His calling. And guess what He's calling us to do? To live out our calling. It's time for us to wake up. And time for us to grow and make a difference. So let's grow together as a church, right? Let's grow together, not only as a church, but as an individual. So that when you go in front of the throne of God, and you're at the end of your age, and God can call you, well done, my good and faithful servant. And that you can stand proudly in front of Him. And that everything at the end, I don't know how heaven is like, but He might show the, you know, slideshow. He might have the latest technology, right? Slideshow of your whole life, right? And that life, that what shows on the screen in heaven, that it'll be all pointing upwards to Jesus. Let's pray together.
Crosspoint Alliance Church is a Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family. Our hope is that you heard from God today. You can be part of the Crosspoint family by praying for this ministry. You can write or send your donation to Crosspoint Alliance Church, P.O. Box 681552, Charlotte, North Carolina 28216, or go to www.crosspointclt.org. Thanks again for joining us, and come back next week for another edition of the Crosspoint Podcast.